Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Would you please stand and sing with me? 479, I'm resolved. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Sing with me as we praise our Lord.
Glad that you're here in the house of the Lord. A couple of announcements to make. Today is Deanna Kirkwood's birthday. I think they're in Arizona on vacation time, but if you remember when she comes back, wish her a happy birthday. Yesterday, they celebrated Dave Broughton's 70th birthday. And what a blessing. He looks younger than he did when he was 65 for some reason. But his health has improved so much, and we praise the Lord for that. And it was a good time yesterday in the gym. I hope you got to wish him all the best. I want to mention Elizabeth Croshaw was taken to the hospital last night. I got a call. They said that she is blind, and so something has gone on in her body. It's caused her to lose her sight. So let's pray for Elizabeth. I'm going to pop up to the hospital right after the service and see how she's doing. I know she'd appreciate that. Also, on Thursday night or Friday morning, somewhere through the night, Pastor McDonald's father went home to be with the Lord. And, of course, last Sunday he announced that he'd been taken to the hospital, but he just kind of went downhill all week and passed away. And so he had to leave convention to come back and make arrangements. And so Paul has flown home, and the funeral will be Tuesday. There's a visitation time Tuesday morning here at the church from 10 to 11, and then the service will be at 11 o'clock with a lunch to follow. And I need to do this because I'm going to forget if I don't. Mrs. Took and Mrs. Post are taking care of the luncheon, and we need some sandwiches. If we're going to ask for sweets in a minute, but if I could get a show of hands of some ladies that would make some sandwiches. Mrs. Took, where's Mrs. Took? How many loaves do you think you'll need? She doesn't know. She's never done it before. But we need sandwiches, all right? So let's just have a show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Perfect. That should be enough sandwiches and squares. We need some sweets. That's the important part. Okay, Mrs. Pankhurst, 1, 2, 3. Some squares. We need maybe 6 or 8 ladies to make those. Okay, 1, 2, 3 more. That's 6, 7, 8. Perfect. All right, if you could bring those here, and we would like those here probably about 9 a.m. that morning. The ladies will start cutting those up maybe that morning, so if you could bring them in, that would be appreciated so much. So let's pray for the McDonald's this morning, Mrs. Croshaw, and others that have needs this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing. Brother Kirkwood, would you lead us today, please?
Heavenly Father, I want you to thank you to lead and come apart from the next of the world and gather here in your house. We ask, Lord, that you'll be with those that are in the touch and have to be with my family and family.
be seated. On our handshaking song, number 220, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. Would you stand with me as we sing this song as well, please? Verse number 3, every day he comes with to me with new assurance.
Every day he comes to me with
thank you. our time to sing again. Number 206, He Leadeth Me. Number 206. And would you rise with me as we sing this last song, 206. He leadeth me.
Thank you.
chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18 this morning, I was just told during the handshaking time that Brother Ron Steeper's brother has also passed away. And so let's be in prayer for Ron. And Ron, we love you. And we want you to know the church supports you and we're praying for you. How many of you love Ron? And Ron's just a great guy. I tell you what, it doesn't matter. Somebody can get up here and fall on their face and he still says amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. And I know even when I'm bombing it up here, he's encouraging me. So I appreciate Ron and he's always a blessing. So you encourage him now. He needs your prayers as he lost his brother this last week. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. I want to thank those who filled in this morning. Mrs. Baker is away. She always likes to visit with her sister after convention. And so she's away. And so Judy covered piano for us. And of course, Pastor McDonald's father passing away. Mr. Baker helped me on the platform. I appreciate those folks helping. Now, I was thinking, though, back when the football NFL went on strike, they had replacement players and they called them scabs. I don't think that's an appropriate name, but I appreciate these folks filling in and helping us this morning. We won't call them that, but I do appreciate their help and willingness to serve. And I never had to beg or plead. I just said, here's a need. Can you do it? They said, yes, we'll do it. So praise the Lord. We appreciate that attitude. Genesis chapter 18. The title of my message this morning is The Woman Who Laughed at God. The Woman Who Laughed at God. Can you imagine such a thing? But you know, the truth is we laugh at God every time we don't believe. Every time we doubt. Every time we think that His grace is not sufficient. Every time we think that His resources are finite or they're not enough. Every time we forget to pray, we laugh in the face of Almighty God. The Bible gives us all those promises and more if we would just learn to trust Him. In Genesis chapter 18, we will examine her life and understand perhaps why she doubted a little bit. And I want you to see this morning about this woman, Sarah, who laughed at God. The Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord." Now, notice the spelling. Lord is capital L, then O-R-D, which in other words means he did not recognize these as God. At this point, Abraham did not understand. This was just a term for, like we would say, Mr. or Sir. He says, My Lord. He says, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I want you to notice that Abraham had adapted to the customs of that area. It was very important to be hospitable. I was very surprised as we traveled through Israel to find out that Israel is a vast wasteland. It's very much desert places. Now, along the Jordan River for about a half mile on each side of the Jordan, it's green and it's lush. And all around the Sea of Galilee and the Golan Heights and that area up there, it's very green and a lot of farmland. But for the most part, it's mountains and dirt. It's a lot of desert. And so as Moses, the Bible says he was on the plains of Mamre. This was not a lush area, but instead it was a desert area. It was the plains. It would have been very hot. And it was the custom in that day to entertain travelers, to wash their feet, to give them some food and to help them. As a matter of fact, it was considered a blessing to do so. And so Abraham begged these people to stay. He says, "I will fetch you," in verse 5, "a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant." In other words, this is the very purpose we're here, that we might be a blessing to you today. He goes on to say in verse 6, "And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now here's the first hint that we get that maybe this messenger was something more than just a traveler. Somebody more than a Bedouin that was just passing through. He said, I will certainly return. Moses had heard, or Abraham had heard this promise before. He understood that God just a year earlier had said, I will visit you at the appointed time, at the set time of life in this next year. And he says, I will bless you with a child and you'll become the father of many nations. And now this man that was standing before him said, I will certainly return unto thee. And Abraham's ears must have perked up. The Bible says in verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old. And well stricken in age, and has ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Verse 13 says, and the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for thee, for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful today to be able to turn into the Word of God once again. Father, we know that you'd have something for us, and so I pray that you'd help us to understand the Scripture, apply it to our lives, and help us with it. Father, Lord, we're going to look today at this woman that laughed at God. Lord, I think as we examine the Scripture, it'll start to reveal something about ourselves. Help us to understand, Lord, that we too are just flesh and blood, and we are frail, and at times we doubt and we wonder. We forget that we have a God that delights in the impossible. So, Father, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts today. Help us to understand who it is we really serve. Father, fill me with thy Spirit. I need your help. And, Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sarah had been hearing this promise for years. For many, many years, she had hoped for a child and then finally received the promise of a child, but had never come to fruition. And here she was on the plains of Mamre. Here they were dwelling in a tent. And God had told them not only would he give them a child, but when he called them from the Ur of Chaldees, he said, I will take you into a land which I have promised, and I will build thee of there a great nation. Here she was dwelling in a tent. 90 years old and never had a home to call her own. 90 years old and never enjoyed the comforts of life. And I'm sure that weighed upon Abraham's heart as every man wants to be a blessing to his wife and give her a nice home and some of the comforts, especially when she gets to be 90. Wouldn't it be nice if they could put up their feet and have others take care of them and help them? But no, they were still living a hard life out here in the desert. In a little while, we'll read that Abraham would still go into Sodom and Gomorrah and have to fight some battles and rescue Lot. Once again, we see that they had to escape into Egypt earlier in their lives. And it just seems like ever since they came to the promised land, it's been one battle after another. It's not been a time of comfort. A lot of times we get to a certain age and we look to retire. We look to slow down. I was talking to one of our missionaries in Asturias, Spain, Brother Dwayne Bucher. And Brother Bucher is around 70 years old. And I said to Brother Bucher, I said, Brother Bucher, when are you going to retire? He says, well, if I retire, I'm just going to stay here and keep preaching anyway. It just seems like some people are looking to retire while others are looking to keep going for the Lord. And Abraham was one that was looking to keep going for the Lord. He was looking for that land of promise. He was looking for the promised seed that God had given. And you know, we don't get a hint in the Bible that Abraham was doubting, although he did ask God on a couple of occasions, who is the seed? Who will be my heir? I have Eliezer of Damascus in my house, and right now as a servant, that's all I have to give everything to, but I'd like a son. And he kept asking God, but it was Sarah that laughed. It was Sarah that doubted. And I want you to notice three things this morning. First of all, about her laughter. And I believe this morning her laughter expressed her doubts. Her laughter expressed her doubts. She doubted because it was improbable. It was improbable. Look at verse 11 in our chapter this morning of Genesis chapter 18. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Now I want to be real careful when I say this. Mrs. Spence, you'll understand. Or Mrs. Spencer, the Bible says Sarah was 90 and she was old. I don't think 90's old. You understand what I'm saying? You don't believe 90's old, do you? No, praise the Lord. But do you think it's too old to have children? What would you think if three strangers showed up at your house and said, hey, guess what? You're going to have a child. Miraculous? The Bible says they were old and well stricken in years. And I believe that Sarah's doubts were well founded simply because the Bible teaches us that it was improbable. This is not something that was likely to happen. As a matter of fact, we kind of have a general mindset today of how old somebody should be when they stop having children. Don't you? Sometimes we even look down. Can you believe that they're 43 and they're having a child? We kind of get a little disgusted about that. I mean, their next oldest child's 19 years old. And here they are having a child. You know, I was doing the math one time, about a year ago, we were praying for a young lady on our prayer list, Patty. And Patty was a cousin of my mother's, but she's just 9 months older than I am. And my mother and her aunts were expecting children at the same time. And Patty passed away from a brain tumor about a year ago, but she was just my age. I remember going to family reunions playing with my mother's cousin, you know, growing up playing with her. And so we were about the same age. And one day I did the math. I went to my aunt's 80th birthday party and I got thinking, well, Patty's just a few months older than me. She was 47 years old when she gave birth to Patty. I thought that's improbable, but it wasn't impossible, obviously, was it? It wasn't likely that she would have another child. Brother Baker, that's Gary's little sister that I'm talking about, and his mom, and that's Tony's neighbor. And it's not impossible because it happened, but it was very improbable. We had a lady in Hamilton, Mrs. Ruth Mendez, who had two children after the age of 45. He said, that's crazy. Well, I would agree with you. I'm 42, and let me tell you, not happening. I ran into an old friend from high school. I was over in Brantford at the Jeff's at work at the office supply store, and there was a fella in there, and I didn't recognize him right away. I thought, boy, he looks familiar, but I couldn't figure out who he was. And he was talking to somebody, and they had to give your phone number for your account number. And he said, well, my phone number is 583. And he goes, oh, you're from Port Dover. He says, I went to Port Dover Composite School. And the guy says, well, I went to Port Dover Composite School. And I said, well, I went to Port Dover Composite School. All three of us standing there. And he looked at me and he said, what's your name? And I told him and he says, oh, I'm Kevin Tostek. And he used to work out with Jim Wilson. And Kevin and I played basketball. And we knew each other, but he changed so much. And so we talked for a little bit. And he says, he says, I got married. He said, I just had our 20th wedding anniversary. And he says, guess what we got for a 20th wedding anniversary gift? And I said, what? And he goes, a brand new baby. I started laughing. I said, praise the Lord, you can have the 2 a.m. feedings and you can have the diaper changes at 4 in the morning. I said, I am done with that. How many of you know that's a young man's game? I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to grandkids as long as they go home for the diaper changes. Amen. Listen, to have a child in your old age is not impossible, but it's very improbable. As a matter of fact, I remember when Mrs. Mendez was expecting her second child, she said, I didn't think it was possible. She says, all these years, she says, I didn't think. She says, then of course we had Jason, and then she says, now, she says, I didn't think I'd have another one. But God had blessed. Now sometimes we look at the improbable, and we think that it's impossible. Do you know who the oldest woman ever to have a baby was? I just read this. It just happened 5 years ago. A lady in India was 69 years old when she gave birth to a child. She's 74 now and has a 5-year-old little girl that she's chasing around the house and trying to keep up with. Can you imagine? She had never had a child in her entire life. Didn't think she could have children. And all of a sudden, by some strange thing, at 69, she gave birth. Well, you know, I would suppose that that's a medical anomaly. I think you would agree with me that is not normal. Something abnormal is going on there. But nonetheless, God gave her a child. And we look at these things and we say, well, it's improbable. But listen, this lady was not 47 like my Aunt Blanche. She was not 45 like Mrs. Ruth Mendez. She was not even 69 like this lady in India. She was 90 years old. And God said, you're going to have a child. And she laughed at God. Can I suggest to you this morning that I believe that God waited that long so that everybody would know it's improbable? That everybody would just assume that Sarah could no longer have a child? That the Bible says it wasn't just Sarah that had a problem. Abraham was also old and well stricken in years. I want you to know the Bible doesn't just pick on the women. Abraham was 100. And the Bible says that he was old. She doubted because it was improbable. We often doubt when something seems improbable. When the odds are stacked against us, it is human nature to give up and doubt. She doubted not only because it was improbable, but secondly, because it was impossible. It was impossible for her to have a child. Look what the Bible says in verse 11. Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Now that's the odds stacked against you. That's improbable. But then it says, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Aren't you glad the Bible is polite in everything it says? We understand what that means, and I'm not going to get into all the physiology of that. But in other words, Sarah just couldn't have babies any longer. Her body had stopped producing what was necessary to conceive a child. It had ceased to be with her after the manner of women. And so in other words, not only was it improbable, but it seemed impossible. God had waited until, humanly speaking, it was absolutely impossible for her to have a child. You know, for years, I imagine Sarah likely in her culture would have got married at about 15 years of age. 10 years would have passed and she may have wondered, am I ever going to have a child? I'm 25 now, I'm 35, I'm 45. We've been married now for 40 years. And God comes to them in the Ur of the Chaldees. And he says, come and I'll make of thee a great nation. And after 40 years of marriage, her hope is renewed. But now another 25 years has passed. If there was any improbabilities before, now they've turned to impossibilities. As her body is no longer able to produce children. So the Bible says that God delights in the impossible. I want you to think of something just as a side note this morning. Do you know that Israel is the only nation ever that was conceived by a miracle? Think about that. A 90-year-old woman had to give birth to a child in order for Israel to become a nation. Isn't that incredible? God didn't do that with any other nation. But he did it with Israel. You think they're the apple of God's eye? Do you think they're his chosen seed? You better believe it. Her laughter expressed her doubt. Secondly, her laughter exposed her disappointment. Her laughter exposed her disappointment. Look what the Bible says in verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Look what she says, after. After. She was disappointed at the passing of time. Sarah mentions the pleasure. She says, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? I think what she is saying is, Lord, this would have been wonderful when I was 20. This would have been a real blessing when I was 30 and 15 years into a childless marriage. Even when I was 40. Maybe as a 25th wedding anniversary gift, that would have been wonderful to have a child. I still would have been young enough to stay up at night and change diapers and to wipe noses and to feed at 3 in the morning. That would have been a wonderful blessing, but now I'm 90. And she laughed at God because I believe she was disappointed in all the time that had passed. It's very likely if she was married, as the customs were, around 15 years of age, she'd been 75 years waiting for a child. 75 years. Can you imagine? holding on to a promise, holding on to a hope, not giving up for 75 years, but for at this point she was disappointed in the long passing of time. Let me ask you, do you ever get disappointed on waiting on God? And sometimes I think that's really the issue, isn't it? The Bible says God is not slack concerning His promise. A day with the Lord is but 1,000 years, and 1,000 years but a day. We get so discouraged because we think the answer should come now, and we pray and say, God, I need it now. And God says, no, you can wait. You can rest in my grace. You can learn to be patient. You can rely upon me a little bit longer. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. It just doesn't say He's going to do it today. David wrote in Psalm chapter 27, I had fainted unless I believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David said, I may not have my victory here, but I'll have it there. I would have given up. I would have fainted. I would have been disappointed. I would have been discouraged if I just trusted in the things of this earth. But listen, I've got a home that is waiting for me, and I believe I'll be delivered one day. So often we pray and we ask God to do something now, and we get disappointed when time passes. Let me encourage you, God is not a liar. The Bible says He is not a man that He should lie. We need to trust in the Lord. He is the Lord. He doesn't change yesterday and today forever. He is the same. And if He has given His word, you can trust that it'll come to pass. But Sarah was disappointed. At this point, she just laughed. I believe she was disappointed not only because of the passing of time, but because of the promise being tarnished. Perhaps at 65 years of age, when God first promised to make of them a great nation, she felt like her time had finally come. Yes, it was improbable. Might have even been impossible by that age. But at least at 65, she would have time to see Him grow to maturity and maybe even give her grandchildren. But 25 years had passed. And that promise began to tarnish in her mind. They'd heard it repeated several times over the years and nothing had happened. As a matter of fact, they'd even pushed their own will to make it come to pass when she gave Hagar to Abraham and they had a child named Ishmael. Trying to force the will of God and force the hand of God because of their disappointment and impatience. Let me ask you, has it ever happened where God's promises have been tarnished in your eyes? You may think, well, you know, God promised if I do this and He'll bless me in this way. And I've been trying to live right and I've been trying to do right. And I've been reading my Bible and I've been praying. And I've been going to church and I've been doing all the things I know that are right. And yet God has not been blessing my life. Let me encourage you, hang on. God will bless. You have no idea how He's already blessed. Sometimes we don't have blessings because we simply don't look for them. We don't see all that God has done. The fact that you're breathing God's air is a blessing from God. The fact that you opened your eyes this morning with another opportunity to praise and worship Him in the house of God is a blessing from God. And sometimes we miss those things. The fact that we are worshiping in a country where we can come and worship as we please and see fit and open a Bible and preach freely the words of life. Friends, that's a blessing from God that not many experience. Just a few weeks ago in Israel, as a matter of fact, it was just a week ago Thursday, we went to the Temple Mount. We went to Mount Moriah, where Abraham would have sacrificed Isaac had the Lord not stopped His hand. We went up to that dome of the mosque. You've seen in the pictures the big gold dome, Muslim mosque sitting there from the Ottoman Empire, built about 400 years ago. And do you know what they told us? They said, you can go up there. And we were asking some questions on the bus before we got there. We said, now, can you take pictures? Because some places, man, anywhere where there might be a chance of terrorist activity, they don't like you taking pictures. And they said, yeah, no, it's fine up there. You can take pictures. They said, just be respectful. And so I heard one of the men said, well, are we allowed to wear hats up there? Because in different holy places, they didn't want you wearing hats. And that was fine. We understood that. And so I heard somebody ask that. And here's what our guide said. He says, the only thing you're not allowed to do is you can't take your Bible up there. You're not allowed to take your... Can you imagine not taking your Bible to the Temple Mount of Jerusalem? Not being allowed to? The place where God had His temple erected, the place where the Holy of Holies was? Do you know that the Bible is so... accurate about measurements and things when it came to the Ark of the Covenant and the temple and all that. They can actually take a tape measure and they measured out exactly where the Holy of Holies was, and they got a little fountain sitting there to mark where the Holy of Holies was when the temple was still built. It was destroyed in 70 AD. You can't even stand there with a Bible where God's presence had once dwelt. Aren't you thankful for a country where we can worship freely? Where we can open a Bible and preach the Word of God? You can go down and have a coffee at McDonald's. You can open your Bible on the table and drink your coffee. Nobody's going to bother you. I say, oh, yeah, they'll bother me. Well, yeah, you might get embarrassed. Can I just be frank with you? Grow up. Let's just be men. Let's be women and not be ashamed of the Word of God. Listen, I think maybe the problem is not the world. The problem is Christians being ashamed. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God. We need to make sure that we as God's people are not ashamed, because if we don't use it, we'll lose it. There's no doubt about that. They were disappointed because they felt like the promises of God had been tarnished. Over time, they had lost their luster. Let me ask you, do you remember when you first got saved and the things of God just were shining bright in your life? Do they still? Have they lost their luster? It was interesting the other day. I've used the same illustration. One of the kids at the convention used the same illustration about a couple that car riding one day. And the lady says, do you remember when I used to sit in the middle when we were first married and I'd snuggle right up with you? And the husband wisely said, I haven't gone anywhere. It was her that had moved away. And I wonder if God is... Listen, I don't have to wonder. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in unto him and I will sup with him. Jesus is outside his church knocking on the door saying, I want fellowship again. The problem with promises being tarnished is not that God is unfaithful to his word, but we are unfaithful to the God of the word. We stop trusting and stop believing. He said, well, you know, my relationship is not like it once was. It's lost its luster. You need to pray with David of old when he said, return unto me the joy of my salvation. It is our responsibility to cultivate that relationship with the Lord. And I believe that Sarah laughed at the Lord because of years of disappointment had finally got her to this point. Humanly speaking, the promise seemed to be slipping out of their grasp. It was just a dream. I want you to see, thirdly, her laughter echoed her defeat. Her laughter echoed her defeat. It is likely that years earlier to hear of the promise excited her. I imagine every time that God reminded them, every time that they prayed together and asked God for a child, they got off their knees thinking, maybe this is the year. God has promised and we've prayed for it, but now... She just laughed. 40 years had passed and God had come and promised them a great nation. Her hopes were rekindled, but now another 25 years had passed. Let me ask you, ladies, I don't know if there's anybody here that is in the same boat as Sarah. I don't know if there's anybody here that's never been able to have a child that so desperately wanted one. But how many of you ladies think that maybe she spent some nights weeping in prayer for a child? Begging God, pleading with God. How many times do you think that maybe she resented other ladies that would come with all their children and say, Sarah, when are you going to have a child? People can be unkind, can't they? You've been married 9 months now. Where's the baby? I'm telling you, that's how it is in some Baptist churches. I remember when we got married and we went to Hamilton. I mean, Brendan was born just a couple years after, about 2.5 years after we got married, before our third anniversary. And people were just dogging us all the time. When are you going to have a child? When are you going to start a family? We just got married. I mean, come on. I mean, I haven't even paid my last month's rent yet. What's going on here? And I mean, just all over it. And that's the way it is, isn't it? And I wonder if Sarah felt defeated after time. You know, probably earlier in her life, she was excited, but that excitement began to dwindle and it turned to disappointment and maybe finally defeat. And I believe that her laughter echoed that defeat. She simply laughs at the prospect of God doing the impossible. Isn't this a sad story? Think about this. Here's a family that had walked with God their entire lives. This was somebody that God thought was so special, He decided He would start the nation of Israel right here with them. And so He called down to the Ur of the Chaldees. He had watched them as they'd been married for now probably about 40 years. Sarah was 65 years old. Abraham was 75 years old. And they've been married for a great deal of time. And God looks down and He had watched how they had conducted themselves. He watched their integrity. He had watched their character. He saw how much they loved Him and honored Him. And He said, that's the family. And He called them to the land of milk and honey. He says, I'm going to make a great nation. But over time, Sarah became defeated. Let me ask you this. Are you starting to feel like this isn't about Sarah, but it's really your story? Some of you have been saved for 50 years, 40 years, 30 years. You thought, you know, when you got saved, oh man, I'm going to lead somebody to Christ. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus this week. I'm going to invite my friends. I'm going to tell my neighbors. And now some 40 years later, do your neighbors even know you're saved? Do they know you go to church? I'm just saying, if it can happen to Sarah, it can happen to us. If we can go from believing that God can do the impossible every single day in our lives, and God can save souls, and God can build a church, and God can save Canada, and God can heal the sick and raise the dead, and we go from that to laughing in the face of God like Sarah did. If it can happen to her, it can happen to us. I think Sarah got complacent. Somewhere along the line, she just resigned herself to the effect that God wasn't going to do anything. God wasn't going to give me a child. Can you see the similarities? Are you living with doubt? Are you living with disappointment? Are you living in defeat? Is your God smaller today than the first day you met Him? You know, it's not uncommon for people to get on fire for the Lord only to see it slowly extinguish over time. Promises will fade out of memory. Hope seems to get buried in tragedy and trial. Isn't it true that God's promises are so sure until the devil starts poking his nose in? He starts bringing tragedy and trials into our life, and all of a sudden we feel like, well, maybe God doesn't care. Maybe God can't do the impossible. Maybe I can laugh in the face of God. Friends, let me encourage you, you have a God that cares very much. You have a God that delights in the impossible. Remember this, the Bible says in the Lord is Jehovah, said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I have a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Isn't it interesting? In verse 11, it says, it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Then in verse 14, it says, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. Don't you tell me it's impossible. Don't you tell me that it has ceased to be after the manner of women. Don't you tell me you can no longer have child, because when I show up, that's the set time. That's the appointed time. We get so worried about everything fitting into our box, don't we? The disciples were on a stormy sea wondering how they were ever going to survive. How, if we only had Jesus here. Well, Jesus doesn't have any barriers, so He just walked across the water. And He rescued them. Another time, He was sleeping in the boat and they said, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus just stood up and He said, peace be still. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God? Listen, the reason we doubt and the reason we're defeated is because we put God in a little box. And we say, God, it is no longer possible for this to happen. God, I don't think You'll ever save this person. They are so far into alcohol and drugs and they are so far drifted off. I don't think You'll ever save them. Just because you don't think it can be done doesn't mean God can't do it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God, I'm buried under a sea of debt and I don't know how I'll ever get out of it. Lord, I'm faithful and I'm trying to tithe and I'm giving a little bit to missions and I'm trying to be faithful to the things of God. And how am I ever? Is anything too hard for the Lord? He can take care of it. Maybe God wants you to step out by faith and give a little more. I don't know. What I'm saying is don't put God in your little box. Because He is infinite in power. He's able to do exceedingly greater than we could ever think or imagine. We just need to trust Him. Listen, look what the Bible says if we'll look at those verses quickly. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Here's the first thing I want you to get. God will always keep His word. God will always keep His word. This was Jehovah Lord speaking. This was God. At the first, Abraham said, Lord, with small letters, saying, Master, or I want to be your servant. I want to be a blessing to you, or Mister, or whatever. But later on, he identified him as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is Jehovah. This is God. And God says, is there anything too hard for me? He will keep His word. And at the time appointed, He will come. You know, God's time is not our time. We cannot always understand His timing. We can't understand why. If Mary and Martha had their way, Jesus would have come 4 days earlier, and Lazarus, thy servant, would still be alive. But 4 days later, after He laid in the grave and He stinketh, the Bible says, He was right on time. And He called Lazarus from the grave. He said, why would Jesus do that? He said to the disciples, and I am glad for your sakes that He is dead, that you might see the glory of God. You see, God is working outside of our understanding and outside of our little box and the constraints that we put on Him, just so He can show Himself almighty and all-powerful. You know, when Sarah came out of the Ur of the Chaldees, she was 65 years old. But if I'm reading my Bible correctly, I think she aged very well. I think she was a very attractive woman. And the reason I say that was because Abraham was afraid that people would kill him to take his wife. Twice that happened. And he went down into Egypt and he was afraid that the king of Egypt would see his beautiful wife and say, I want her. She was 65 years old. Beautiful woman. Had Sarah at 65 years old had a child looking as young as she looked, would have anybody thought that'd be a miracle? Had she had a child at 30? At 40? I tell you what, it might raise some eyebrows, you know. If they were good Baptists, they'd start gossiping about it. Can you imagine 45 years old and having a child? That's how it works, I understand. But it wouldn't have been impossible, wouldn't have been a miracle. Even at 65, it's likely she would have had this child, and maybe nobody would have known how old she really was because she's still having children. She looked very young. But when you get to be 90 years old, and she says herself, she admits, we are old and well stricken in age. Old and well stricken are two different things. Old means I'm of a certain age. Well stricken means the years have taken their toll. I'm not just 90. I look 90. Mrs. Spencer doesn't look 90. Amen. She runs circles around a lot of you guys. I'm telling you, run circles around me. I like that. You meet somebody. I was in a nursing home several years ago, and there was a lady there, and she says, she was taking care of the door. You know how you have to put the code in at the door? And as the volunteers came in, she said, put the code in. Make sure you put the code in. That was her job. And I said, you're pretty spry. And she says, not bad for 102. And I didn't believe she was 102 because she didn't look it and she didn't act it. I mean, she was just spry. She liked bossing the men around. She'd say, put the code in. And I'd say, when were you born? And she said, September 25th, 1898. Well, that was in the year 2000. Emily was born September 25th, 1998, 100 years to the day. So I said, my daughter's exactly 100 years to the day younger than you. I'd like to bring her in for a picture. And she died before I got back there. But this lady was just, so full. Nobody believed she was 102, but she could spout out her birth date like that and went, okay, she must be 102. I like that. I like that fire, you know. And only certain people can have it. Sarah says, I don't got it anymore. I am well stricken in age. Let me ask you this. If she has a child, what do people say? It's got to be God. It's got to be a miracle. Let me encourage you in this way this morning. Don't ever think it's too late for God. Don't ever think something has gone too far, something has deteriorated too badly, that somebody is too lost for a holy God to save. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Genesis chapter 21 says this, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, and the set time of which God had spoken to him. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for a miracle working God. Father, help us to learn from the life of Sarah. Maybe there's some here today that have been disappointed in the waiting, the time that has passed. Disappointed in the promises that they have not seen fulfilled. But Lord, I pray that you encourage them today not to get defeated, but to hang on and to trust the Lord that delights in doing the impossible. Father, I pray that you draw us out of our defeat today. Father, it wasn't long after that that Sarah woke up one morning and gave birth to a child. I believe for the last part of her life, she never doubted God again. How could she, after seeing what the Lord had done? Father, help us. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to have that joy of our salvation. Help us to remember that time where things were so exciting and we were looking forward to God doing a work in our lives each and every day. And Lord, that has not changed. But we must revive and be refreshed in the Word of God. Father, help us not to doubt or to be defeated, but instead to delight in the Lord, to know that He is all-powerful and almighty. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand this morning to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let me ask you, friend, is this your story? Have the things of the Lord become ho-hum? Routine, mundane. Would you pray today that God would restore the joy of your salvation? You know, maybe the Lord is just waiting to do something in your life. He's just waiting for you to surrender to it. Don't laugh at the face of God. Believe Him. Trust Him. I'm so thankful that God keeps His word, because I would be tempted, if Sarah laughed at me, I'd say, okay, deal's off. But God keeps His word no matter what our sin is. His promises are exceeding and rich and given to us. If we just obey, He'll take care of our needs. Would you just trust Him afresh and anew today? Brother Baker's going to sing a hymn of invitation. If God has spoke to your heart, would you step out and come? Maybe there's one here today, say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't have a relationship with the Lord that I should have. We spoke to the teens this morning about salvation. And let me encourage you, young people, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing you'll ever have in your life, is a relationship with Jesus. Let me encourage you, just slip up your hand. Say, pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? If I were to die today, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I need to know for sure. Can I pray for you today? Is there one? Maybe there's others who say, preacher, you know, I'm kind of like that. I'm just floating along. I go to church services, but I don't really have that powerful expectation of the Lord working in my life. I just want to be moved. I want to see God work. I want to see my family, my neighbors saved. That doesn't come through our fleshly efforts. It becomes through our surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. Would you ask God to revive His work in your life today? Let's pray together. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Let me give you a few announcements. Tonight we have our evening service at 6 o'clock. We have Lord's Table tonight. I want to encourage you to prepare your hearts even now and come prepared to observe the Lord's Table in the right manner. So that'll be our evening service. We have some other things planned. It'll be an exciting time. I hope you'll come. Of course, 2 weeks from today, we have Brother Paul Connor with us, and he's kind of a grandchild to our church, isn't it? We sent Brother Gord Connor out to British Columbia over 30 years ago and planted the church there, and God has blessed, and now his son is going out and starting another church in Vancouver area, and so we thank the Lord for that. And so he's going to come on March the 23rd in the evening service and share with us his burden for the area of Vancouver. You'll love his family, great family, and Paul's a real blessing. I know you'll be blessed by him. So come, that'll be March the 23rd. This Saturday, we have a men's breakfast here at 8 a.m. 8 a.m. Now, we were having them at 9, and some were saying that's half the day gone, so we're doing it at 8 o'clock. And I'll probably have the other half complain that it's too early, but anyway, you just can't win. There's going to be food there, Baptists. All right, so that's our calling card. But next Saturday morning, we'll meet together, have some breakfast together, and have some prayer together, and that'll be a good time. This Thursday, the teens are getting together. We're going to have there's a free public skating board over. We're taking you down to that from 2 to 3:30. We're going to come back to the church, play some volleyball and some basketball and floor hockey and such. And then we're going to have some pizza together and some devotional time in the Word of God. And so that's this Thursday. Every kid is off school, so invite them to come. It's a great opportunity. When they don't have a conflict, they're probably not working. So invite them to come this Thursday for the teen activity. Don't forget, Tuesday we have the funeral for Maynard McDonald here at the church. From 10 to 11 is the visitation. 11 o'clock will be the morning service, and then, of course, a lunch to follow in the gymnasium. Brother Roberts, are you moving your seniors somewhere or just postponing it? Just not having it this week. So seniors, you normally have because of the funeral, we have to move you. I'm sorry about that. That's going to happen from time to time. So regular time again the next week, though, right? Correct. So 10 a.m. the next week. Invite your friends to that. Seniors, we have some flyers. Do you sell flyers, Brother Robert? Still have some flyers in the teenagers' room. Invite your friends to come to that. Anybody is welcome. That's not just for the church. We want anybody to come and enjoy that and have some fellowship with our folks. You'd be surprised how many people come to church because they were first invited to something else. Mr. Tyrrell will tell you he invited our family to a bowling game. Is that right, Mr. Tyrrell? And the parents started going bowling. Next thing you know, we were at Bethel Baptist Church. And so it's a great opportunity to invite people to an activity. All right, I guess that's about all we need to mention. There is a family skate in Port Dover on March. Is it March 23rd or March 30th? I have two different things, Mrs. Tuck. It is the 23rd? Okay, so March the 23rd, there's a family skate. $2 per person or $6 per family, and that's after the evening service. And then, of course, the guys still want to play hockey after that, so I guess that'll be going on as well. All right, young adults activity, April the 12th in the gym. And that's Mr. Baker's class, and they're having it at 10 a.m. in the morning for volleyball. And I can almost guarantee there'll be food after that as well. So praise the Lord. All right, let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer today. Mr. Tyrrell, would you lead us in prayer today?
Passing now that we'll be in a position to accept a challenge that we've been given this morning. Lord, you've given us so many promises, and we've missed so many. Lord, help us to accept the challenge you've given us, and to use us this week to be an honor and a glory in thy name. But with us from this service, we thank you for the word that's been preached. Guide and direct and give us a great week. We pray for those that are laid aside. We thank you for this funeral, the testimony of this man. We ask to be with Mike and his wife and family. Undertake for them, and may it be a blessed week. We give you all the praise and honor and glory in thy name. Amen.